Good morning. Welcome to New Life Church. Please stand as we worship this morning.
God sent his son. They call
service with a psalm, Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise, because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all the flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
want to speak the name of Jesus. Over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. Starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus, sing his name. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is alive.
Thank you. everyone, and welcome to New Life Church. As we've gathered here to worship, we want the children to have an opportunity to continue to worship downstairs. So I'm going to ask all the little lights, that's ages 3 to 5, and their leaders to come forward and sit on the steps. It's a lot of steps for some of those little legs. Well, little lights, we're so glad to see you today, and you're going to be going to your own special time downstairs with your leaders, and so we're just going to pray over you and ask a blessing on you. So I'd ask everybody to hold a hand out over to bless these children. Lord, we thank you for our little lights. They are a light in this church. They remind us of the love that you have for each one of us and the special love you have for them. And we ask that as they go to Little Lights today, you'll be with their leaders and help the leaders to speak Jesus to them and help the children to just learn more about you and the love you have for them. We ask this in your name. Amen. Okay, and which way do you go? Which way do you go? That way? Yeah, that's right. Off you go. Well, we're happy that you're with us today. And if you are a first-time visitor or maybe just been here a couple of times and want to learn more about New Life, we ask you to fill out a Connect card, which you'll find in the seat pocket in front of you, and bring it to the info booth. And you're going to receive a New Life tote bag with a tumbler and some fair trade coffee. And if you're here for the umpteenth time, and you'd still like some of that coffee, you can come and buy it outside after the service, because we're selling it for our missions and missionaries. And if you're online this morning, please comment where you are and who you're watching with. So, summer has come. We know because the sun's shining and school basically has finished. And this summer, we're hosting Superhero Park Days in Dallaire Park to meet our community. It's an opportunity for New Life to go where the people are and to extend God's love to our neighborhood and our neighbors. So we'll have 1 week in July and 1 week in August, and we spend the morning in Dallaire Park with free face painting and games and crafts. Staff will organize everything, but they can't do it alone. So all you need to do is to show up at the park, and please consider spending a morning during July 10th to 13th or August 8th through 11th with your kids, your grandkids, or just yourself. And it's a lot of fun and an easy way to make connections with others. This last Thursday, New Life hosted a volunteer appreciation night to offer a huge thanks to you, the volunteers who contributed their time and energy to New Life Ministries in so many ways. And you can read some of the testimonies from volunteers about that on the bulletin board in the foyer across from the library, and they're worth reading. But I think the volunteers who were there also would like to show appreciation for the staff who put that evening together for us. So let's give them a round of applause, because it was very enjoyable. So they've also put together a recap video which they're going to share with everyone. So take a look. that brought back some memories, lots of good memories. Okay, there's one other thing that you can actually help by volunteering with. The staff put together some little flower pots with seeds in them, and some of them need a volunteer to take them home and look after them and watch them grow. So please help yourself to a little flower pot if you're somebody who could maybe help that little seed grow. And they're on the table in the foyer. So we're going to be worshiping God as we continue with our offering. That is also part of our worship as we thank God for all that he has done for us. And we are very thankful for our missionaries and mission partners. And I'm just going to remind you who they are. We have Fred out in Turkey with Friendship Evangelism. The Barnhorns, who do Bible translations for Nigeria. Eve, who is back from Cora, I see, and Hope for Cora is also one of our mission partners. We have Fernando in Colombia, and he also heads up Brand New Life, working with the youth in his city. We support Joshua House, which helps with people who are recovering from addictions. Esperanza, a ministry to the people on the West Coast, the indigenous people. Youth Unlimited, which is a local ministry reaching out to youth in town. And then Lowry, the church there, New Life Church in Honduras. So if you can't remember all of those, come to the where we're selling coffee, and you can get a little card with all of those printed on with little pictures to help you remember, so that you can do not only give in this offering to support them, but also remember them in prayer. So let us just pray for our offering. You can give in many different ways. That shows you there on behind me, and the offering boxes are up here at the front. So let's pray for our offering. Lord, we thank you that we can give. Give a little of what you have given us, but we know that you have given us so much more. And we thank you, Lord, especially for those who have dedicated their lives to reach out to people in different parts of the world, the ones I've just mentioned. And Lord, you know their ministry, and we ask a blessing on each one of them. They're all so different. And yet, you can reach others through the work, whether it be translation of evangelism or providing jobs and work, whatever it is, Lord, you know what those people need and you reach their needs. And thank you for letting us be part of that ministry. We just ask that you'll continue with us in this service, and that we might be a blessing as you are a blessing to us. We ask this in your name. Amen. Okay, so now we have our 3-minute fellowship time. I was ending a bit too quickly. We have a 3-minute fellowship time. We want you to walk around, meet up with somebody else if you'd like to, shake their hand, greet them, and if you have any, don't know what to say, maybe ask them what their highlight of the past year was, what you remembered from that little video thing we saw. So have a good time.
I thank you, oh Lord, for the cross, for the cross. All right, if you would take a seat, please. Welcome again to New Life. So good to be together this morning to worship our God. Wonderful. All right. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Just seeing that video, and God's been good to us in this year of ministry, and we want to give thanks to Him for that, and pray a prayer of thanks also for Dave and Eve returning from Ethiopia. Just talked to Dave, and he said it was a really good trip, and so we're grateful for that, and grateful for their safe return. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we praise you for your goodness and for your faithfulness to us. Thank you that we can celebrate another year of ministry, another season in which we have lived in your presence and sought your presence. God, thank you for revealing yourself to us in so many different ways. Thank you, God, for your love that embraced us from day to day, week to week. God, thank you for the opportunities you place before us to reveal you to people around us, for the opportunities of ministry here in this place, week after week, for the opportunities of ministry through our missionaries and through our mission partners. God, we give you thanks. Thank you for the safe return of Dave and Eve. And we pray, Father, that you will continue to bless their work and the work that is being done in Ethiopia. And God, in all of this, we seek to show off your glory in our daily lives, God, in this coming week, in this coming next couple of months. God, as we look forward to summer, we pray that everything that we do and everything that we are reveals something of who you are in our lives. We give you all the praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, welcome to summer, and we begin a new series of messages today as well called What a Character is our series, and we're going to be taking a look at different people in the Bible. Now, there are some popular ones that are, their story extends through several chapters or entire books of the Bible. But there's also a lot of characters in the Bible who are just mentioned once or twice, and they tend to be perhaps forgotten, or sometimes they're well known, but they only appear in the story of God very briefly. And so we want to pick up on those throughout the summer. There's going to be times when you're here, times when you're not, and so you'll be able to take in a single message at a time and just reflect on, why is that character in the Bible? Oh, what can I learn from the story of God through this particular person of the Bible? And so that's going to be our endeavor for the summer. Our first character that we're taking a look at this morning is Hannah. And Hannah's actually fairly well known, I suppose. She appears in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And then there is a song that is attributed to her, which is in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and that's it. And then she appears no more. But we want to take a look at Hannah and see what we can learn about our relationship with God and who we are in relationship to God through this particular character. And here's Hannah's story. Hannah was married to Elkanah, but Elkanah had two wives. Nothing in particular is said about that, other than Peninnah had many children, and Hannah had none. And that's the setup to the story. And then we read in 1 Samuel chapter 1 at verse 6, because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival, that's Penina, the other wife, kept provoking her in order to irritate her. And this went on year after year. And whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. So you can imagine, as the story is set up here, year after year, this is a lot of waiting on the part of Hannah, waiting for who knows what, actually. And then a little later on, we continue the story, verse 10. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head, which is the Nazarite vow. A vow of commitment and dedication and devotion that Hannah promises on the part of her son. And then towards the end of the story, we read, so in the verse 20, so in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant, gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Samuel means God heard. God heard. Well, it's a story of waiting. And waiting is hard. Hard not because the activity of waiting is so particularly difficult. I mean, that's pretty straightforward. But because of the psychology of waiting. For example, there was in Houston, Texas, an airport where the executives received all kinds of complaints about how long people had to wait for their luggage. So long, they said. Way too long. So executives at the airport got together and they said, man, how can we solve this? They put their heads together and they made a final decision to say, well, I guess we just got to hire more baggage handlers to get it more quickly to baggage claim so people can pick it up right away. So they hired a bunch more baggage handlers, and, well, the situation improved a little, but they still received all kinds of complaints. They scratched their heads. They couldn't figure this out. They wondered, what is possibly the problem? Until one day, one of the executives, discovered that it only took 1 minute for people to come from the gates to baggage claim. 1 minute. The rest of the time, they just stood there waiting and waiting and waiting. So, cleverly, what they did, I'm not sure how they did this, must have involved a lot of renovations, but they moved the gates farther away from baggage claim. So, it made no difference in terms of the actual wait, except that now people were walking 10 minutes in order to get to baggage claim. And no more complaints about waiting. Clever, huh? See, that's the thing about waiting, is that if you can keep people occupied, they're not waiting. I'm wondering this morning how you are waiting. I've got a couple of scenarios here that perhaps you'll be able to identify with. So the first scenario is this. You're waiting at the doctor's office, already for an hour. What do you do? Are you grateful for the chance simply to read the Maclean's magazine from the year 2009 and you just sit there? Or do you fake hyperventilation to get in sooner? Yeah. Second scenario, you're moving into a new house and the people moving out aren't done yet. What do you do? You have several options, actually. You could yell and scream at them for being slow. Problem is, you'll probably slow them down. You can help them with their move, speed that up, or you wait And then maybe you breathe heavy sighs and hope they notice your annoyance. Third scenario. You're approaching a double-laned intersection with a traffic light turning red. This one's close to my heart, actually. What do you do? Do you stay in your lane? Slow down. Simply stop. Wait for the red light. Just go with the flow of traffic. Or do you speed up to race into the clearest lane? Not so you can go through the red light, but just so that you can be the first off when the light turns green. I mean, don't you hate it when people are slow when the light turns green? You're like, go, go, go! No? Yeah, I do that all the time. Last scenario. How about this? You're in line at the P&E. Just thinking summer here and so on. You're in line for a ride, but the line is long. What do you do? Do you just stand there, continue to watch the ride, let the excitement of those who are already enjoying the ride inspire you to anticipate riding that same ride, and so you just kind of wait? Or do you frantically look around for a ride with a shorter line to get in as many rides as you can? Waiting is an experience every one of us has, and I suppose we all respond differently to waiting. But in a do-it-yourself age, with a get-it-done attitude, waiting just seems like a useless activity. We'll take care of it ourselves. We can fix it ourselves. We'll buy it ourselves. We'll get to work by ourselves. We'll do everything by ourselves. But waiting is a waste of time, it seems. And so, we wait also for God. But our annoyance with waiting gets in the way, then, of being able to know Him, in fact. Because if you want to know God, as Lewis Smedes helpfully suggests, waiting is our destiny. Here's what he writes. As creatures who cannot by themselves bring about what they hope for, we wait in the darkness for a flame we cannot light. We wait in fear for a happy ending that we cannot write. And we wait for a not yet that feels like a not ever. The point is, we simply are not in control of our future. And we are forced to wait. To wait for many things. It's a huge portion of our lives to be waiting. So to wait, what does that mean in the context of our Christian living? What do we learn from Hannah as we think about waiting? Well, first thing is, we're not just talking about waiting for traffic lights and water park lines. We're talking about the kind of waiting that Hannah experienced. Hope for a child, for instance. But hope for a sense of worth as well. Or maybe a hope for some sense of joy in our life. Or maybe simply hope for a little blessing. We're talking about the deep hopes and dreams that we have for life, for living, for being alive in this world, a world that is sometimes terribly upsetting. A couple waits, perhaps, to start a family. Or someone is waiting to discover a career that's meaningful, purposeful in their life. Maybe a single person is waiting to find a life partner. Or maybe a patient is waiting for a doctor's prognosis. Waiting. The heavy waiting in our life. We're not just talking about polite patience. but about the hard work of hanging on to hope. That's what waiting is. Waiting with hope. Not just a hope that all our wishes come true, but a hope in God, who is the source of all our peace and joy. To be able to rely on God throughout all of the uncertainties of our life. To be able to wait, hoping in God. And that's why Hannah shows up at the temple year after year after year. And as we note in the story, she's all alone. Oh, she's married to Elkanah, and Elkanah loves her. He's even told her, in part of the story we didn't read, but he's even told her, "You're worth more to me than 10 sons," he says to her. His love for her is undying. It's complete commitment. But he can't do anything for her. She's alone. She goes alone to the temple. And when she's at the temple, the priest of the temple, who should have known her well, because she went year after year after year, but he doesn't recognize her, and he can't do anything for her. And so Hannah is alone. No hope in anyone except for God. That is the one thing that waiting can teach us, to hope, to put our hope in God. Psalm 42 puts it this way: "Why, my soul, are you downcast?" This is a psalm of, a lot of people imagine, a psalm written by David, perhaps in the midst of depression. That maybe David had this mental health issue of depression, and so he cries out to God, and he gives expression with this refrain: "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Perhaps not even that the psalmist has arrived there, but he's instructing himself, if only by rote memory, to say, in the midst of depression, put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. I've got to steer my life towards hope in God. I'm going to praise him. Don't feel like it. There's nothing to show for it. But that's what I'm going to do. Learning hope requires the patience, sometimes the anxiousness of waiting. Waiting in God. Waiting's our destiny. But not only because we hope in God, but also because we trust him. Waiting can teach us to trust. Hannah ends up being a character contrast to the way God's people often act. The people of Israel, to whom this is particularly written, but then also as the word of God to us, also addressed to us. Hannah becomes a character contrast to the ways that we often behave. Because we want action. We want it now. We want it instantly. We want it in our own hands. We want to have the control. We want to be able to handle things. And oftentimes, because we have so many resources, we can. And then we become impatient. And without having to wait, we never learn to trust in anyone except ourselves. But Hannah endures. Without any control, without any ability to change her situation, Hannah endures. She doesn't lash out at her rival. She doesn't lash out at her husband. She waits and waits and waits with nothing in her hands, nothing in her control. In her waiting, Hannah only prays. It's the only thing in this story that Hannah does, to pray. An activity that more often than not seems as useless as waiting. Prayer is the activity of trust. People often say, prayer works. But it's not just about whether prayer works, but whether in praying you can learn to trust. Waiting is our destiny. Because we don't hold the future in our hands, God does. And so in waiting, we learn to trust in God, to trust in His faithfulness to us, to trust in His goodness, to trust in His power to save us, to trust, yes, even in His love for us, even when we despise ourselves. In his book, Sabbatical Journeys, the late Henry Nouwen wrote about getting to know a couple who were trapeze artists. And so in his conversation with these trapeze artists, they told Nouwen about the special relationship between the flyer and the catcher, the two artists that make up this particular spectacular act. The flyer is the one who must let go of the trapeze, right? They swing back and forth, and then at one point, the flyer has to let go of the trapeze, the bar that they hang on. And when the flyer is swinging high above the crowd on the trapeze, the moment comes, they have to let go. And that trapeze artist then arcs out into the air. Their job is to remain as still as possible and to wait for the strong hands of the catcher to pluck them from the air. One of the trapeze artists then told Nouwen this particular detail. The flyer, they said, the flyer must never try to catch the catcher. The flyer must wait in absolute trust. The catcher will catch him, but he must wait. Waiting. That's a lot like our prayer life. It sometimes doesn't get us the things we want, but we must wait and trust that God is the catcher of our lives, and He will catch us. Learning to trust. Waiting is our destiny. Our destiny to wait in hope, to wait in trust, and to wait in humility, to be humble. See, we tend to think of humility as weakness, and the opposite of that is taking control of our lives and getting into action and making things happen. But humility is not weakness. Humility is the strength to put your confidence in God. Humility is the willingness to let go of control because your confidence is in one more powerful than you are. So the end of the story results in Hannah having a son, but that's not the end of her waiting. The end of the story is that she surrenders her long-desired son to God and hands Samuel over for temple service. She recognized that her answer to prayer wasn't something that was owed her, but it was rather a gift, not her possession. Not something that she could grab hold of and control, but rather a gift that she could only surrender back to God. She has learned not only to wait for God to answer her, to give her, to her what she wanted, to provide for her, to bless her. Not just to wait for God, she has learned to wait on God. Humbly surrendering all. Surrendering even her precious son so that God becomes her everything. Waiting. Waiting is our destiny because what we learn while we wait is as great as what we wait for. What we wait for, perhaps, is God's provision. But while we wait, we learn dependence on our Father in heaven. What we wait for is God's salvation. But while we wait, we learn to love the one who saves us. What we wait for are all of God's blessings in our life. But while we wait, we learn that we are God's humble servants, and we belong to Him. Waiting. Waiting on God. That's our destiny. But it's a daring move. And perhaps even as you sit here, you think, that just seems like too much. And yet it's simply our life to wait on God. A daring move. Perhaps even a bold move. Instead of frantically chasing around to try to control our future, to manage our future, learning to wait is a daring move. And yet, there will be times when we're tired of waiting. There will be times when we just want to give up. There will be times when we just feel like we cannot wait any longer. There are going to be times when our patience runs out. For even youths grow tired and weary. Even young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, have mercy on us, we pray. Father, we are waiting. We wait for your return. We wait for you to make all things new. We wait for you to save us. We wait for you to bless us. We wait for you to sustain us. We wait for you, God, to supply our needs. We wait for you, God, in our greatest longings. And we wait. God, this morning, some of us here are tired. We're tired of waiting. We feel like giving up. Renew our strength, Father. You are the source of our strength. You are our strength. Teach us to wait. God, let Hannah be our role model. What it means to wait, so that day after day, week after week, year after year, we go to you. And we go to you in prayer, and we learn to hope in you We learn to trust in you. We learn in humility that we are yours, that you are our Father, that you will provide for us, that you will care for us, that you will love us, that you will embrace us, that you will hold us close to you, and that you will give us life and life forevermore. And so, God, in our waiting, create in our hearts that longing, that desire to be with you, to belong to you, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We surrender all to you. And God, we wait for your blessing. Look upon us, we pray, in our waiting. Sustain us by your grace and in your love. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Please stand and sing with us.
Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you
Amen.
Sometimes standing in line, you get anxious and you just want to pull out of the line, or you just don't know what to do and you become frantic. Perhaps you have some of that feeling this morning. I want to offer that you can come down and receive prayer. Hannah went to the temple year after year to pray. But sometimes we just don't feel like praying. Sometimes we're just done. We're done with waiting. We're done with prayer. So I want to invite you this morning to take the opportunity to have someone else just pray a brief prayer of blessing, of the Spirit's presence in your life, so that you can stay in line, keep waiting, learn to trust and wait on God. So I want to invite Sean and Jacob, just come down to the front and I'll be here. And let's spend some time in prayer before you leave. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you now and always. Amen.